Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a leg! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Got a lot to get to this week. We'll have Brandon Huffman on in the next segment to talk about Jaden Rashada's deal and backing out of his national letter of intent, his NLI, not his NIL, because the NIL deal, the name, image, and likeness deal, fell through. It's been reported a number of places that his deal was roughly $13 million, and I think in On Three's latest article, that added up to about $13.9 million. I also want to give you an in-depth look at the top prospects in Oregon and Washington in the class of 2024. A lot of them have either visited already or are visiting this weekend. Devin Brooks, the top uncommitted prospect in the state of Oregon, visiting this weekend. I was asked on the text line about Jason Brown, the number two running back in the country for 2024. He just came off a visit. Braden Platt just came off a visit. He's a top 10 linebacker in the country at a Yelm in Washington. Had a chance to talk to him today. So I'll give you kind of a rundown of where Oregon's at with the top Northwest prospects. But I want to start here because I'm frankly struggling with this a bit. I don't understand why there's so much pushback in the industry with guys getting NIL deals and NIL deals for a lot of money. It seems that people think they're exaggerated or overstated or they're not real. And you will have people from major recruiting sites and you will have people from major who cover major recruiting beats arguing that NIL is overblown. And then you see a deal like Jaden Rashada's and people immediately, you know, scream that his deal was an overpay and was such an overpay that Florida in the end, Jaden Rashada, by the way, the Pittsburgh high school quarterback out of California, supposedly got a $13.9 million deal to flip from Miami to Florida. And people are saying, well, it's a massive outlier deal and Florida realized it and that's why they're backing out. And there's some truth to that perhaps. However, as I've found, and it was mentioned in the On3 article, so I feel extremely comfortable talking about it openly. They said elite quarterbacks, the top guys, annually are signing deals, and they're getting a three-year deal essentially with a fourth-year option if they stay instead of going pro for $1 to $3 million. Well, I can do basic math, and I hope you can too. $1 to $3 million per year on the low end would be a $4 million deal for a quarterback. On the high end, $3 million per year for 4 years is $12 million. Rashada got a little over $13 million. So are we really talking about tremendous outliers? I've mentioned online openly that I know of three deals that were in the $8 to $10 million range. Now, that comes with bonuses. That comes with the player staying all 4 years. They have to perform, et cetera, et cetera. And got a ton of pushback. Like, this isn't real. And you get them from people who had blue check marks before blue check marks could be purchased. You know, people who are in the media industry saying, you know, NIL's dramatically overblown. Divide anything you hear on a deal by four. I'm sorry, that's not true. You're wrong. And I don't know if it's that you're not sourced, that you're helping colleges who want to tamp down the numbers so that when kids, big time kids come through, they can kind of lowball the number or what. But while these deals don't exist for every single recruit, they're out there. And I don't understand why, as an industry, we're not willing to talk about them. I totally understand why college football programs don't want it out there that they maybe gave an offensive tackle a 3-year deal with, you know, again, that fourth year option. It's complicated, but essentially a $6 million NIL deal. I get why you don't want that out there, because you don't want the 4-star guy going, if he got six, I should get at least a mil. That's not how it works. There's kind of a top end to this, and it drops off really steadily. I understand the college's incentive. And I even understand some beat writers going, I get all my info from coaching staffs. So if they tell me to like pump the brakes on the rumors and say, there's no way this kid got $5 million, I heard it was more like $100,000, I get it. What I don't understand is people who are not necessarily connected to recruiting in any major, major way, but are major media members, saying that NIL is overblown and it's not real. It's absolutely real. And I've talked about this a number of times. The average 4-star recruit, and that's like a top 200 kid, is probably getting between $80,000 and $120,000 per year. $100,000 a year for an offensive tackle is a high 4-star prospect or a 4-star corner. Now, it goes up exponentially for those elite guys. And I don't understand why it's impossible for people to say that. And you'll have people in the industry saying, well, that's not how it works. It is how it works. It's absolutely how it works. Now, you might have a school, and the rumors have been schools like Texas A&M and Miami are more of an upfront situation where regardless of how you perform, you're probably getting your money. Now, I would push back on that and say that's not entirely true. But there's a little bit more of a promise up front. Whereas programs like an Alabama or Ohio State say, yeah, we'll pay for a big-time prospect. We'll pay for a big-time prospect. But we have the infrastructure that once you're here, if you perform, if you become a starter, if you're a guy who's going to play in the NFL, you get a bunch of money. I believe it was reported by On3 that Bryce Young got roughly $4 million this year. That kind of deal, where if you perform well and you're here, we will take care of you once you're here and you earn a starting job and you're a star. There are programs that formulate these things differently. But the idea that, you know, I wrote that, hey, guys get between 8 to 10, you know, I know of deals where guys have gotten between 8 to 10 million. And I know of three of them, and I 100% stand by that. And if the Jaden Rashada news is true, then I guess I know of four of them, but now it's 8 to 14 million. I totally stand by that. There was pushback from people who were like, that's not real. If you didn't see the contract, that's not real. Or other, you know, other people with blue check marks or whatever. People who are verified media people saying, no, that those numbers aren't real. Divide them by four. I'm sorry, they're real. And I, again, and Buck, maybe you can help me here. I don't know. Is it echo chamber of some top people are saying, you know, don't look behind the curtain, and then you have a bunch of people who aren't super connected going, yeah, NIL's overblown? Or is this part of an industry thing where coaches are saying, hey, tamp down the numbers because we don't want to pay everybody? So just lie and publicly say these deals aren't happening. Again, I'm not talking about every kid in the country, but there are 10 to 15 kids in every recruiting cycle, the top kids in the country, who are getting massive NIL deals up front.
I think that in general, this is such a new thing, and because the details of it aren't necessarily handled by the universities, they're often handled by these collectives. The universities aren't giving a lot of public information on how they work because maybe they work differently at different places. And so I think there's not a ton of real tangible information out there for the public about how this is all going down. So when people don't know, they just guess. I think that people think they couldn't possibly have that much money for these kids. Or on the other end, well, there's no way they're not paying those kids more than that. I mean, people just have a preconceived notion in their head of how it's probably happening because no one has told us, you know, explicitly, here's how it's happening.
Well, the other piece that really bothers me is people say the money's not different now. And I'm sorry, the money is absolutely different now. The number one recruit in the country about 5 or 6 years ago, I know exactly because I heard it from all over. It was very, very loud. Got $300,000. And by the end of his career in college, he got roughly, now it could be upwards of two, but he got roughly $1 million. Could have got as much as two, depending on some of the deals you get, you know, $2 million. Rashada's deal being reported all over the place. $13 million. Don't tell me the money's not more. It's goofy to even say that. The amount of money that you can give to a kid, and here's the problem, and here's why the money's more. People are like, well, why would the money be more? Guys now can just do it legally. Right. But before, if you gave a kid $13 million, now whether it's spread over 4 years and it's bonuses and it's really $7 million, you would have to hide that from the tax man too. Because it was illegal. It was NCAA illegal. And if they put it on their taxes, suddenly you would have to claim that money. And they'd be like, hey, how did this high school kid suddenly get $5 million, $6 million, $7 million? So it was only as much money as you could reasonably hide from the IRS. Now it's legal. And well, so
because it's above board, there can be more of it without the red flags going off.
Because,
right. Yeah.
And so because of that, there's no backdoor dealing. Hey, we have to hide this. And by the way, if we give you $6 million, you have to hide this money because it's illegal. If you suddenly have $6 million walking around, you have to claim that. And if you have to pay taxes on that, people are going to notice something's going on. Now it's totally, you can claim it on your taxes. I got $5 million. And you do have to claim that and say, this is how much money I got. And because of that, businesses can do that without having to hide it. There's no issue there. And that's why the money's more, because it's all above board and you don't have to do anything illegal or sketchy to get that money to a player. It's totally legal. And I just don't understand the overwhelming industry pushback in recruiting. I'm fine with not reporting exact numbers. I'm fine with not saying, hey, so-and-so supposedly got 1.7 from this school or 1.9 from this school, and he chose the program that gave him 1.9. I have no problem with that. If we want to go into this industry and say in recruiting, hey, we're just kind of not going to go there, I get it. What I don't understand is the misinformation of it. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, guys. There's not extra money in with these NIL deals. There obviously is. And again, you'll have people who go, that $13 million number is made up. It's not made up. Now, some of it, again, might have come only if you won a Heisman, won the starting job. It may be a heavily incentivized deal. But the deal wasn't going to go from $13 million to, oh, if he kind of didn't end up being a superstar, immediately down to like $150,000. And that's what we're talking about in terms of what guys used to get paid and what guys get paid now. And you've got so many people regurgitating the same thing over and over that NIL isn't a major factor. It's absolutely a major factor. You look at Oregon's situation. Do people really? I mean, Oregon did a great job closing. They did a phenomenal job closing. And they deserve a tremendous amount of credit for that. But does anybody really sit back and look at Oregon's recruiting class and go, it's weird. They lose Dante Moore after Rashada at the time was his initial number at Miami was rumored to be about 9.5 million. Nico's number was supposed to be around 7 to 8 million. Then Oregon got Dante Moore. I don't think I'm making some massive stretch to say Dante Moore probably at Oregon got at least 5. That would be 2 million below what the market was at that point. And it was probably more like 7 or 8. He decommits. And suddenly Oregon's in the mix, but kind of an also ran for guys like Mateo Uiagalelei. Probably Ohio State, maybe USC. Peyton Bowen, is it Oklahoma? Is it Notre Dame? Is it Oregon? Suddenly Oregon starts finishing and getting all these guys. Do people really think it's a coincidence that Dante Moore decommitted? Perhaps that freed up some NIL money and that Oregon was able to close elsewhere with other guys. Is that really that big a stretch to make? Are people really going to be like, well, NIL is not that big a deal? It absolutely is a big deal. If you're in the mix late for a kid, now I'll say this, NIL usually does not take you from number 15 in the recruiting for a kid to number one. You have to be in the mix by old school relationship building type situations. You need to be in the mix. You need to, on your own, be able to get that unofficial visit. You need to establish the relationship. You need to get an official visit. But for a lot of elite kids, and I'm not talking about the four-star kid. I'm not. We're talking about the top end kids here. you're in the top three or four for a five-star kid, and NIL is going to play a major factor. And it's not a surprise. We've seen this. Guys going into their decisions, and they're the typical schools. I've talked about this. There are a handful of schools now that they go into a recruitment, they're in the top three. The entire industry is saying, well, it's probably going to be this school. I'm talking about 100% of crystal ball predictions on 24/7. I'm talking about like a 98% chance they choose school X on three. I've done a prediction piece. I'm saying it's this school. We're not all stupid. We all have sources that say the kid favors this school. And then at the last minute, and it's happened multiple times, they end up at a Miami or a Texas A school that was a finalist. That doesn't mean that we were all duped and we're stupid. It doesn't. It likely means that NIL played a factor there. And when you're able to go from third to first in the last 24 hours, let's be honest, that tends to come from money raised or a bidding war. It just happens. And there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't understand the pushback in this. I'm frustrated by it. The pushback in this industry and publicly on social media, all these people like NIL doesn't really matter. It's taken things from guys get like $10,000 to now they get $50,000. Are you living under a rock? I don't know how many more of these stories have to come out where we go, again, yes, they're bonus laden. They're probably not going to reach that high end of the deal. But I don't know how many more of these. Nico got 8. Rashada supposedly got 9.5 at Miami, then got 13 plus at Florida, allegedly. I don't know how many more of these deals have to be leaked or how many more of these deals have to be reported. And by the way, to report these, you better be sourced because you can get sued if you just make up numbers and throw it around and say, this kid got paid this much money. You can get sued for that. I don't know how many more of these deals have to come out before fans go, man, there's a lot of money in recruiting right now. And I don't understand why people will flock to the person who goes, guys, NIL was no factor. They just love the coaching staff. Give me a break. It's nonsense. Joining us next to break down Jaden Rashada's recruitment. What exactly happened there? I don't know if he's going to want to get into numbers, but I am fascinated by his recruitment. Who's in the mix for Jaden Rashada? What happened with this $13 million deal potentially with Florida? He was going to go to Miami. Brandon Huffman, the National Director of Recruiting at 24/7 Sports, going to join us to break that down. He's in Hawaii, by the way, for the Polynesian Bowl. I would trade him spots in a millisecond, but he will join us during his busy time here to break that down next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Blazer.
More than 90% of the top prospects in the country signed during the December signing period. And now we get kind of the fireworks show. And we got it in twofold here in the last 24 hours with Jaden Rashada asking for his release from Florida, according to Brandon Huffman, and Cormani McClain, the number one corner, the number one non-quarterback prospect in the class of 2023, flipping from Miami to Colorado this evening. Brandon, first of all, man, I would trade you in a millisecond. How's Hawaii treating you?
Oh, you know, it's dropped down temperature-wise to 84, but the sun's going down, so we should be in the high 70s here pretty soon.
You poor guy. You poor man. I want to get here first because it's been kind of a wild last week of rumors. Jaden Rashada, it's not allegations in a negative way, but amid reports that he had signed maybe a $13 million plus NIL deal at Florida, has asked for his release. That's according to a source of yours. Give us kind of just the basic rundown of what's going on for people who may not be in the know about Jaden Rashada's recruitment here this past week and really this past month.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is there was a delay when he signed on signing day back in December. With him getting his letter of intent in, there are still some final T's to cross and some I's to dot. Ultimately, he signed that evening. Billy Napier actually postponed his press conference a little bit later in the day so he can include him in the press conference. Well, everything looks to be all set. Looks like he's going to be going to Florida after the Under Armour game. He comes home, but never actually goes down to Gainesville. And ultimately what happened was, you know, amidst reports, there was a backing out, if you will, by the Florida NIL Collective, and Jaden was never reported to campus. So instead of reporting to campus, starting his clock and starting classes, he asked out for his NLI earlier this week, and now Florida has, at this point, 28 days to respond. They have 30 days altogether, and we might be back to square one entirely, assuming Florida lets him out of his NLI, which I imagine they will. And then we're back to square one with the top uncommitted player on the offensive side of the ball in California.
It would be a bad look for Florida to really, really fight this hard. How messy could this get? Do you foresee a situation where, whether it takes a few days or it takes that full near month, they will eventually release Rashada and he will have an opportunity to go elsewhere? And bygones are bygones here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this relationship is beyond repair. Now it's a matter of people saving face. And right now, the people that have the most face to save is the University of Florida, Billy Napier, and most notably the NIL Collective. You know, they're the ones that agreed to offer an NIL deal if it was $13 million, which, you know, I still haven't seen any screenshots of the contract that say so, but let's just say for the conversation, it is $13 million. Well, they basically wrote a check that they couldn't cash, and now they're going to have to face that negativity on the recruiting trail in the future. They're without a quarterback of an elite level like Jaden is, and they're essentially back to square one, not just recruiting a quarterback, but then how are they going to continue to recruit with the NIL being so prominent in recruiting? I think they have to let him out, because if they don't let him out of his NLI, then there's the possibility of a lawsuit that still may happen anyway. But they want to try to wash their hands as quickly as they can of this and move on and let Rashada get to the next step, and then just hope that this is a learning lesson for everybody.
Talking to 24/7 national recruiting editor Brandon Huffman, I've reported, and I feel very comfortable about this, that there was pushback initially on Rashada's deal, and I said this is an outlier deal if it is, you know, $13 million plus. But there are deals out there, and I know they're multi-year and they're incentive-laden, for $8, $10 million. And I got a tremendous amount of pushback from people who said, there is no way the money is that high. In the NIL era, it does seem the money is more extravagant. What have you experienced on the recruiting trail in terms of NIL now being, not for every player, but for those elite players, a bigger deal and the money being bigger than it was 10 years ago?
Well, I mean, it's certainly bigger because now it's out front. Now it's out there. Now it's no longer in duffel bags or on Visa check cards. It's in contract. It's in writing. That's the problem that a lot of schools are having now, though. In the old days, you could just say, hey, we're going to get you a duffel bag of cash. We're going to, you know, have the bag man deliver. Now there's contracts. There's lawyers involved on both sides. There's a lot of people that are putting money towards this collective. And what's ended up happening is now you got schools bidding against themselves, bidding against other schools, but then they're bidding against themselves. One kid could go on a visit, say, hey, this school, they're going to give me $7 million. What are you guys going to do? We'll give you $8 million. And that other school maybe said, hey, we'll give you $75,000. But they don't know that. These collectives aren't talking to other collectives to know that they're basically bidding against themselves. And so what's happening is you get a bunch of rich people who have a lot of money and stupid money to just throw around, and they're the ones that are kind of looking dumb in all this. I mean, people can say what they want about Rashada and, you know, the family and all that, but at the end of the day, they weren't the ones that were saying, we're going to give you this amount of money to play here. They were the smart ones that said, well, shoot, we'll go play there then, if that's what you're going to give us. So a lot of collectives are going to have to really rethink and reevaluate how they're doing this and whether they should be throwing out stupid numbers, because now they're finding that if they don't deliver on what they promised, kids aren't going to show up on campus.
Yeah, I saw a good analogy online, and I don't know where it was, so I apologize for anybody who I'm stealing this from. But they said essentially you agree to buy a house for a certain amount, and then somebody suddenly says they're not going to give you that amount. Well, you're not going to give them your house. That's, you know, if you agree to a deal on paper for a certain amount of money, you should get that. That is not Jaden Rashada's fault. That is not his issue. It does sound like potentially a Florida NIL issue. Do you think there's a scenario? I've argued for a while now, there needs to be, and I don't know if it can be done, but there needs to be a database that if you sign an NIL deal, it needs to be disclosed to the NCAA. They have no litigation over it in terms of you can't have this much money or you can't do this, but just in terms of the money, and that way we get out of this black market where guys are going on visits. I've heard of this. They're saying, I got, you know, I was offered 1.5 from this school, and the school has to decide, okay, we were in front. Do we want to pay him 1.6 to keep him, or are we going to call his bluff and keep our deal at, you know, $500,000? Will this eventually be a situation where to sign to be eligible, you need to disclose your NIL deals and therefore the market kind of levels out? Or do you think this is just going to be the wild, wild west going forward because the NCAA is taking their hands off it?
Well, I think the NCAA has basically tried to wash their hands of any kind of discretion and discipline in recent years. And they're at the point now where I feel like they're powerless. And I think that the schools know that. And that's why the collectives had ran with it so quickly. It wasn't like this was a 3 to 5 year phase from when NIL was first allowed to see, okay, let's get our feet wet. People came out swinging right off the bat in July of 2021, heading into that 2022 signing class. And so I think right then, that was when the NCAA realized, crap, the genie's out of the bottle. We're never getting him back in. And, you know, unless the IRS is involved, unless, you know, Senate or the House or whatever, you know, federal legislation says that they have to disclose it, there's not going to be a kid in the world, there's not going to be a school in the world that's going to say, hey, we're going to give you our documented income amounts that we're giving to these kids to the NCAA, because essentially the schools are trying to disarm the NCAA as much as they possibly can. They're not going to give them anything else, especially when it amounts to dollars and cents, to give them any more information than they already need to. So I think it's going to be kind of a lawless west until, you know, the federal government gets involved. And I can't imagine that this is something they really want to get themselves involved with, at least at this juncture.
Talking to 24/7 national recruiting editor Brandon Huffman. I don't know how much you want to get into this, and we can pivot to Poly Bowl if you're not real comfortable here. I've said, you know, the top few guys get massive deals or potentially can get massive deals, but that now the bar goes down further. You can get pretty decent money, you know, if you're a top 200 guy. Where do you see the cutoff of how that works? You know, is the number 170 player in the nation getting $8 million? Or does that only, you know, kind of, as I've kind of laid out, maybe for the top handful of kids and then the top 200 get a good chunk, but it's not that multi-million dollar a year type of deal.
No, and it's going to be like the NFL draft, where it's going to be positionally, there's going to be more value placed on that position. A quarterback's going to command more, an edge rusher, a left tackle is going to command more than say a middle linebacker is, than a running back is. You know, the positions that aren't as incentivized in the NFL, yeah, you need them to win games. Yeah, you still need those guys on Sundays, but you need a left tackle, you need a quarterback, you need an edge rusher more than you probably need anything. So it's going to be based positionally and where you stack up positionally more so than where you rank overall. But the other thing is you're still getting every kid that's signing with a Division I school, whether it's a Power Five, whether it's a Group of Five, they think that they're worth what the number one player in the country is worth. And they're finding out on a lot of their visits that, hey, your NIL deal is the NLI that you signed and the full ride scholarship we're giving you. We might give you a couple $1,000s here and there to go promote, you know, the local Kia dealership, but you're not going to get anywhere and command anywhere near what the elite players are. You know, you should be happy to be here. And you're seeing guys that are even not playing much their first 2 years, transferring and trying to transfer to schools that are known for NIL. But like, you've done nothing on the field for 2 years to prove that you're worth this. And guys are trying to take immediate handouts, but the reality is there's just not enough money to go around. I don't care what, you know, the boosters at some of these schools are trying to tweet like they've got this endless supply. Even they're smart enough to kind of say, hey, for the most part, they're smart enough to say, hey, we're not giving everybody that much money. Some of you are just going to be happy to come here for free and get your stipend check.
Pivoting to the Polynesian Bowl, you've been there for a few days of practice. The game itself will be on the NFL Network, quickly rising game now, becoming one of the premier All-American events anywhere in the country. I know for years everybody thought about the All-American Bowl or the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. Polynesian Bowl's got huge names, big-time talent, should be a lot of fun to watch on NFL Network. Who are some of the guys, maybe just a couple of names that really have stood out so far this week of practice? Doesn't have to be West Coast ties, regardless of where they're from. Who are some of the guys that have blown you away?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's three of the highest-rated players in the game. Nico Yamaliava, the number one or the number two quarterback in the country, the number two player in the country. He's already actually practiced with Tennessee in their bowl prep for the Orange Bowl. He came out this week. He's been by far the best quarterback here. Francis Maligoa, who is among the top two linemen in the country, a top 10 player, signed with Miami. He is here, and he's looked every bit, the lead offensive lineman. And then Spencer Fano, who's been the number one tackle out west. For really the last 2 years, he's been really the top performer, period, regardless of position. This week, the Utah signing, he's been fantastic. And then over on the defensive side of the ball, really been impressed with David Hicks. He's the top defensive lineman in the country. Headed to Texas A&M, obviously Oregon fans are very familiar with him. He told me on Sunday at check-in that Oregon was right there, but ultimately he decided that he wanted to stay in state and play at Texas A&M, and he's looked every bit the part of the top defensive lineman here.
I want to get you out on this. Mateo Uiagalelei, obviously Oregon's prized recruit in this class with Dante Moore moving on. How good is he? What should Oregon fans expect? Is this a show up as a freshman, maybe a 10-sack season? Is this a developmental guy who can help out a ton against the run and he'll develop as his pass rushing moves develop? How good can he be, and what should Oregon fans be looking for out of Mateo?
Yeah, I think this first year might be a little bit of a developmental year. Now, he's obviously got the frame. He's got the size. He's played against elite competition for the last 3 years. So it's not going to be a big jump for him. But from a size standpoint, he's going to need to get a little bit thicker, a little bit stronger. You know, he missed the All-American Bowl, which he was invited to because he was dealing with an illness and he lost a little bit of weight. But he's been back this week for the most part. He's been going at full speed. But I think it might take him until his sophomore season to really be an impact guy. But I think he's going to have the size and the skill set to get on the field in packages and play some as a true freshman. But I think you'll see his biggest jump happen in the 2024 season.
Brandon, thank you very much. Enjoy that difficult weather you're experiencing. Have a good time.
Thanks a lot, Andrew.
I mean, he laid it out for you, and it's nothing that surprises me, although it is very, very interesting. Anytime we have Brandon Huffman on to talk NIL, it's interesting. Not backing away, and no one is that really understands that, yeah, there's a lot of money being thrown around, millions of dollars being thrown around for the top kids. That's not everybody, and people need to understand that. But this pushback that it doesn't exist is silly, because it's absolutely out there for the top five-star kids. And again, if you're a good high-level four-star offensive tackle, you're going to get a good chunk of money. Are you going to get $3 million, $6 million? No, but you can get a pretty good chunk of money. And I do think that's fascinating. I also think the Rashada situation is fascinating. You know, he didn't shy away, but he didn't confirm that $13 million number. Florida's NIL really looks bad here. They have a contract, and it'll be interesting to see if there's a potential lawsuit here. They have a contract, and they essentially sent Rashada a note, Huffman's reported, that's like, hey, we're voiding this contract. It's a $13 million contract. This is not like a, hey, you know, come to this car dealership. It's a $13 million deal. They just sent a note and was like, never mind. Never mindsies. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens there, and I hope for Rashada's sake that he's able to find a home that he's comfortable with. I can't imagine going through the recruiting process, having all these options on the table. You lock in because someone wants to give you $13 million. And then at signing day, they say, never mind. You have to hit the reset button. And that's tough on a 17, 18-year-old kid, regardless of what you think of the money.
Now, it may be too early to tell, and you may want to hit this on the other side of the break, but we do have one texter in that just wants your thoughts on where you think Rashada ultimately ends up.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, man. I'm as out of the loop on the Rashada thing as it gets. I would love to claim that I know exactly where that's going. I don't. I should have asked Huffman. That was an obvious follow up question that as soon as I hung up with him, I realized I missed. I thought Oregon fan would rather get to Mateo, but
oh no, I think Oregon fan wants to know about Mateo.
I should have asked. I've heard it's programs out west. It's been reported like California, Arizona State, Colorado.
Someone texted us or tweeted us UW the other day, but that wouldn't make as much sense with Penix coming back for another year, because that would mean Rashad would have to sit. But
yeah, Rashad is a developmental guy. I mean, he's going to take some time, but he's very talented. The skills are there. He's just got a little time in the development. He's not going to be a hit the ground running immediate, you know, all conference level guy like Dante Moore potentially could be. We'll break down some Northwest prospects when we get back, some big time names in the Northwest. Checking out Oregon here in the last week, and then coming up this week, I'll let you know what Oregon's chances are and what they had to say about the Ducks. That's coming up next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Last week I was asked about the top prospects in the Northwest and what Oregon's chances are with some of those guys, and I felt comfortable answering, but it also helps to get an update, particularly when they've recently visited Oregon or will visit Oregon. So I had a chance to actually talk to Jason Brown, Braden Platt, and Devin Brooks, the top players in the Northwest here, frankly, all of them within the last 48 hours. Jason Brown is the number two running back in the country out of the Seattle area, O'Day, and Oregon's, you know, firmly in the mix for him. I mentioned last week I thought that his recruitment was very much up in the air, and that's what I got from him talking to him about it. Was he was like, I'm in the very beginning stages of things, but I'm checking out schools. He was visiting Oregon this past weekend, and Oregon's an option for him, and there's no doubt there. He did mention multiple times that he's impressed with what Coach DeBoer is doing in Seattle, and of all the kids I've talked to from that Seattle area, there's been a big push over the last few years, and it is a challenge at Washington. There's been a big push to leave Washington to play college football, and outside of Sam Heward, whose dad or an uncle have a lot to do with that program, obviously, they have not done well keeping elite in-state talent in-state. You look at JT Tuimoloau. Oregon had a better shot at JT Tuimoloau than Washington. Obviously, he went on to Ohio State, and he looks like a future first-round pick and an All-American and all that. He looks phenomenal. G. Scott Jr. was a big-time prospect coming out of Seattle area. He's at Ohio State. Emeka Egbuka was the number one wide receiver in the country. He went elsewhere. All these players, a lot of these players have gone somewhere else. Josh Connerly Jr., the number one offensive tackle in the country, goes to Oregon. Oregon's really capitalized on some of that, as has Ohio State, obviously. But of all the kids I've talked to recently coming out of Seattle, he has the most optimism there of all of them that I've talked to. He said, you know, Seattle's really home for me. And that doesn't mean it's going to be home for the next 3 to 5 years, depending on what goes on with my college experience. But, you know, I'm interested in what they're doing because that's the program that's in my backyard. And so there's a lot of interest there. That being said, when we talk about Jason Brown, we really have to understand that he's in the very early stages. Predicting where he's going at this point is a crapshoot. And if you want to do that, you're welcome to do it. But it is very, very early. The other two top Northwest prospects are much closer to a decision. Both Devin Brooks, who's the number one the number one uncommitted prospect in the state of Oregon that's left. He's out of Clackamas High School, 6'4", 290 pounds. And Braden Platt, who's out of Yelm High School, arguably the best high school program in the state of Washington last year, which is not traditional. You see some Eastside Catholic, you see some Camas. Yelm, frankly, was maybe the best program in the state of Washington last year. He's the number 9 linebacker in the country. Also, he's the number 1 javelin and shot put athlete in the country for his class. So he wants to do both in college. And I had a chance to talk to Braden today. I will have an article coming out tomorrow about Braden Platt. But Braden Platt has 3 schools that will get official visits at this time. He is planning to take all 5. So he does not have a top 3. He absolutely pounded the table on this. So I want to be very clear. He does not have a top 3. He will have a full 5, but he does know of 3 schools that he knows well enough that he feels comfortable will get official visits. And those are Michigan, Oregon, and Washington. He was at a visit to Oregon last week. He enjoyed the visit. He was a little bit disappointed, if we're looking for nitpick stuff, he was a little disappointed that he didn't get to meet with the track program. He did check out Hayward Field. He was pretty blown away by Hayward Field. He has a really good relationship with Coach Jake Long at Oregon. They posed for photos together. That was a big thing for him because he has a great relationship there. He said, and to be very clear, football for him is number 1. And you could even put a space. Track is number 2.5. It matters. He wants to do both. But if he were going to go to a school and they said, we are going to make you an NFL linebacker, but we need you to focus on linebacker, he would probably step away from track. That is not his preferred path. But if that's the way it's going to go, he's not opposed to it. It doesn't wreck his recruitment. He does have a goal of playing in the NFL and being an Olympic thrower. And I mentioned that on last week's show. He reiterated that again, but he said his overarching goal is NFL, that's the more important goal. So that's something to watch. But when you're the number 1 thrower in the country in 2 events, track's going to play a factor. And I think if you're Oregon, you've got to feel really good about it. Again, I mentioned this last week. I was asked, who does Oregon have a better shot with, Braden Platt or Jason Brown? And I said Braden by far, because one, now we know Brown's at the very beginning of his recruitment. Platt for sure is going to take, 3 officials, and one of them's going to be Oregon. He likes track. He just visited Oregon. He enjoyed his visit. So that's really huge. And I think Oregon's going to have a shot there. They're going to be able to sell the track and field piece. He's a big-time talent. He's the number 1 number 9 linebacker in the country, the number 1 linebacker in the Northwest. And I think that's a player that if I'm Oregon, I'm really watching for. And if we look at what, frankly, Oregon's done here the last few years, I've been really encouraged by a lot of things I've seen in Oregon's recruiting. I think they've done a phenomenal job in a number of areas. The one area they haven't really capitalized on, and it may come up multiple times here in the next just few months, is combining and landing some of these kids who are elite track athletes. They have gotten, there was a stretch there where they kind of sold both. DeAnthony Thomas was sold a little bit on both. LaMichael James did both. They really sold guys on the opportunities they could see and experience in track and field. And it was a factor for them. And you look at the last few years of guys, and that hasn't played as much of a factor for the guys. You haven't seen a lot of guys saying, track's huge for me and Oregon's the place to be. And it's going to come up here because Nicholas Harbor is arguably the number 1 athlete in the country. Oregon had an in-home visit with him. They are looking like a team that is going to be in the mix for him. Nicholas Harbor is separate from me ever knowing anything about his interest in Oregon, which is fairly recent. He's essentially a tight end edge rusher. He might be the freakiest athlete I've ever seen at the high school level. And you could say, Nimick, pump the brakes. There's Colt Lierla. There's been some freaks. Nicholas Harbor is a 6'5", 230-pound edge rusher. In his first 100-meter race of the year this year, he had the number 1 time in the nation in the 100. He's 6'5", 230, and legitimately runs a 4.3. Now, it might be a 4.37. It might be a 4.39. It also might be a 4.32. The dude is unreal fast. You know, I remember years ago, I'm a Niner fan, we got to loop it back. Vernon Davis was just this absolute monster freak, and he went to Maryland, and he was like 6'4", 220, 230, and people were blown away that he was like a legit 4'4 guy. Harbor's 6'5", 230, and is a legit 4'3". It's unbelievable how freaky he is. He is off the charts, and if Oregon can sell him on track, he could legit be a track athlete. So that is something to watch. So again, it's going to come up a couple times. It's going to come up potentially with Braden Platt. It's going to come up with Nicholas Harbor. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Harbor is a class of 2023 guy. He's a five-star recruit, the number one athlete in the nation. Oregon's made a major push for him in recent weeks. Again, Dan Lanning had an in-home visit with him this week. That's a major player to watch. The last guy, and I promised you I'd touch on the Northwest guys. The last guy I want to mention is Devin Brooks. And when you look at the state of Oregon, frankly, outside of Devin Brooks, somebody could pop. You know, Sam Levitt popped last year and ended up being a top 10 quarterback in the country out of Westland High School before going to Michigan State. Outside of Devin Brooks, there's really nothing left in the Pac-12. Joey Olsen, the Lakeridge wide receiver tight end, is going to USC. AJ Pugliano's a top 10 tight end in the country out of North Medford. He's going to Oregon. And you've got Devin Brooks, who's a three-star interior offensive lineman. I know he plays some tackle for Clackamas. He will be either a guard, or USC even likes him potentially as a guard-center combo in college. Devin Brooks out of Clackamas, had a chance to talk to him recently, and he's starting to really narrow things down. In fact, he's very comfortable saying he has a top three. It's Oregon, it's USC, and it's Washington. He's going to visit Oregon this weekend. He already visited USC. Next weekend, he's going to visit Washington. And then he is going to take official visits in May and June and make a decision in either late June or early July. He will end up in the Pac-12. The question is it Oregon? Is it Washington? Or is it USC? And that's an interesting one because he is big body. He's a good player, 6'4", 290 pounds. Again, he moves well into high school level for tackle. He's clearly more of a guard at the next level. Tackles are getting bigger. That's one of the trends. If we talked about the biggest trends in college football, it is that corners are getting bigger, and Oregon State's been ahead of that curve for the last 4 or 5 years under Coach Smith. They want big corners, big long corners. And offensive linemen, particularly interior offensive linemen, getting bigger. Used to be you could be 6'6", 6'1", and be a center. Now those guys sometimes are 6'5", 6'6". Dawson Jaramillo out of Lake Oswego High School was like 6'5½" and moved to center. And there was a time when people, when he was a freshman, were like, well, he's going to be a prototypical left tackle. He ended up being a center. That's how much bigger they've gotten, and that's how much more quickly that trend has taken hold. So Devin Brooks is going to be an interesting one. This visit to Oregon this weekend is going to be big for him. The visit to Washington next weekend is going to be big for him, and he will probably make a decision in the early part of the summer. There was another piece of big news. We touched on Jaden Rashada's NIL deal. The other major national news, Cormani McClain, just within the last couple hours. In fact, while I was driving in, Cormani McClain flipped his commitment from Miami to Colorado. And Deion Sanders now has landed two of the top 10 corner recruits all time in just the last 365 plus days. I will break that down, talk about it, what is going well at Colorado, next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I really praised Colorado, frankly, for hiring Deion Sanders. And I got some pushback on that on social. And I think no matter what you say on social, you're going to get some pushback. But there are people like, are we sure he can coach? And my response was, it doesn't matter. it doesn't matter whether he can coach. And by the way, I think he's an okay coach. I don't think he's an elite X's and O's guy, but I think there are two different kinds of coaches in college football right now, and guys are a blend of these two things. But guys are either kind of X's and O's savants, or at least that's the way they lean. And I think Coach Jonathan Smith is more that guy. I think he does a great job of identifying who fits his X's and O's system. And then you've got guys, and Willie Taggart was this to a T, who I don't think can coach a lick, but they're great recruiters. And there are two ways to skin a cat here. You could be about the Jimmy's and Joes, or you can be about the X's and O's. But when you have neither of those things, and Colorado, by all accounts, had neither of those things last year and the year before, you can kind of make a splashy hire and guarantee yourself a loaded roster. And it may not work out. Look at Willie Taggart at Oregon. He's a different example. He did not work out from a coaching standpoint in any way at Oregon. But you know what he did do? He loaded the program with recruits. And not only that, because he was an attractive character, he brought in good coaches like Mario Cristobal, who then built off that and had some success. Deion Sanders may not pan out at Colorado. But if he gets fired in 2 years because it's an absolute disaster, he's still going to have a whole bunch of really good prospects that wouldn't have been there otherwise in his program. They can hit the portal. Some will, some won't. But that's a much better place to be in if you're Colorado than where they were 3 months ago, 4 months ago. He's got 2 5-star corners. No one else in the Pac-12 can say that. He's got a proven quarterback in his son who's got potential to be an all-conference guy. They've got their Bo Nix. Is he as good as Bo Nix? We can debate that. Probably not, right? Like, we'll be fair. Maybe he's a step down from that. Who was Colorado getting before this? You brought in Deion Sanders, who is a name, who has brought in other good coaches, by the way. They've got some good coordinators coming in. If he doesn't pan out and it's a disaster, and they promote an OC who knows what he's doing, so he has some ties to some of these kids, they are in a better place, whether Deion can coach a lick or not, than they were 2 years ago. And that's why it's a smart deal. And that's why when you see Cormani McClain committing, it's a big deal for the program. You go, yeah, that makes sense. I get why they did it. To me, it's a no-brainer. If you can land, if you're in Nowheresville, land the big-time coach, the big-time splashy coach. Hire the Ed Reed. See what happens, because you're at least going to draw some Jimmys and Joes. That's where we're at. The recruiting world is wild. Deion Sanders, NIL, millions of dollars. It's a wild world, and I'm happy to present it to you. Thank you, as always, for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10 of the Fan. As always, appreciate you.
This has been Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, the show for recruiting fans. Check out Andrew's work at scorebooklive.com and join us each week for Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.